Taking a break off from talking about writing and novels and writers for a minute to give you guys some election night reaction, election night coverage with my good friend and colleague in the education department, Greg Cromarta. Greg and I are both English teachers at the high school level. We both teach at a school for ELLs, English language learners, 100% English language learner population. And both of us are pretty left, you know, we're kind of a little bit nervous, but had a lot of mixed reactions and a lot of mixed feelings about what the election was going to say about our country, about what the election was going to result in. You know, worst case scenario versus best case scenario, things like that. So I had a good, like a long conversation with Greg as the results were coming in, and he was sort of he was a huge help, like reporting the numbers and updating the numbers as they were coming in, and we were giving our whole 2 cents worth. Since it's not a writing podcast, you know, this episode isn't about writing or writers. If you're a writer and you like to listen to this podcast, you know, to hear from authors and whatnot, then, you know, you feel free to skip this episode. But I wanted to record something as we came in and as the numbers came in. Now, this is the next day, and we still have not decided the election. It just reported about an hour ago that Joe Biden won the state of Michigan. That's going to be contested. Trump's lawyers are already in the process of filing a lawsuit, so that they're probably going to do a recount in that state. We're waiting to hear from what happens with Pennsylvania, but things are starting to lean in the direction of Biden winning the election. But it's far from over, you know, particularly if Trump wins Pennsylvania. And that was kind of the crux of, we started to talk about some of the other states as the early results came in, but we did talk a little bit about, I was kind of hoping that one of the southern states would go to Biden, meaning Georgia, North Carolina, or Florida, and he didn't get any of those. But anyway, so this is our podcast conversation that I had with Greg Cromarta last night. It lasted about 2 hours, and when we went to bed, we still didn't know who the president was, but I think it was a pretty enjoyable conversation. A lot of interesting things we had to share. We aren't always right on everything. I mean, what do we know? We're just sort of spitballing and talking about the culture. So if you want to give that a listen, then enjoy. Here's Greg Cromarta. Now in Madrigal, there's a lead, a really fucking romance. You don't just die when this is so bad. Yeah, the fact that you only want to be your dad, want to be your dad, want to be your dad, my life. Want to be your dad, want to be your dad, want to be your dad. Bro.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Oh, I heard there's like something on TV tonight.
Yeah. What's new? I'm good, man. I'm Gucci. I got, look at this. I got my stockpile of food. I got my weapons. I got some gold buried somewhere, you know?
Molotov cocktails. Everything's ready. When the marauders come, yeah. You have the gasoline.
Ready to hold up. The only thing that I'm waiting on is who the marauders are going to be. Are they going to be wearing red or blue?
Yeah, that is what we'll see.
I was just checking out, like, the New York Times. They're cunty because they make you have to, like, subscribe to look at anything.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, yeah. Wow.
So
I think it says that, like, sorry, we're cunts. It says, like, yeah.
We're still making you pay for content, even though we know it's free everywhere else. But it shows, like, but I guess that's what happened with Hillary too last time, was that, right? There's like the early indication, he's like, Biden's up by a lot, like 80 something electoral votes, and
right.
Trump's got 55, but none of that shit matters because it all comes down to a few podunks in Ohio.
Yeah, like there's always like those cities like, you know, Woodstick or like Alumino.
Yeah.
What are these places? Where are they? Why are they deciding our destiny?
I know, it doesn't make, it's absolutely, you know, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I understand the whole thing about not wanting to be the popular vote, but like on the other hand, like every time it comes around, like isn't Florida where we get all our insane news about people who like eat their neighbor's bushes and
yeah, bring alligators into liquor stores.
Yeah, exactly. And that's who's choosing our president every fucking time.
Yeah, and it's always like a narrow victory. It's like 51 yeah. to 49 or something like that. Like, it's such a bizarre state. But I've been watching. It looks like Trump took Tennessee, which no surprise, really, and Kentucky, yeah. no surprise. Biden, I think, took Maryland and Vermont. And I think Rhode Island's like kind of neck and neck right now.
Yeah, it said something about Rhode Island. It's up for grabs still. Yeah.
Which and is
McConnell, that turtly little snake. He won
real. They love him.
They do.
Why do they love? Hold on. Let me go to a more well lit area. Why do they love him so much?
I have no idea. He's such a he's such a mousy.
Yeah.
I don't remember any other animals I can compare him to? But ugh, he's awful.
Yeah, he is, and he does look like a turtle, obviously, but it's also just he. He's very apparently in it for himself.
Right.
Like, there's no other reason he's in politics other than cut himself a good deal on coal.
Well, honestly, the same with Trump, though, in my opinion, in my estimation. Trump, it seems like he's completely in it for himself.
You think?
Otherwise, he'd have been a governor or a representative or a senator or something. Who goes right for president?
Howard Stern said, and he said this is true, that Trump confidentially told him, he's like, it was a publicity stunt for The Apprentice.
Wow.
And people just ran with it.
Lovely. Isn't that lovely? Oh, my goodness.
That's American politics.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen. What is the over under? Like, what is the, in your estimation, like, what is the, who's going to riot more if Biden? Because that's what I've been thinking about. Like, where are you going to see more violence if Trump gets elected or if Biden gets elected?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's even hard to tell in itself because people are just amped up on both sides where they both, and I read something recently. I forgot where it was. I can't source it, but it was very interesting. They said, right now, America doesn't really have a common enemy to focus on. So we're looking at each other. And we're finding something not just that we disagree with, but we find each other deeply evil
right
now.
Right.
Like, you're the enemy. You're not just the Democrat or the Republican.
You have a failed character, right.
Yeah. Like, terminally failed. Like, cannot be corrected.
Right. Right.
Which is unnerving.
Well, I got to tell you, did you read any of the – I don't know if you read – any of the literature that came our way today about like teaching in the, you know, teaching the election. But we got sent some literature and some information about teaching, like from a bunch of different sources, like Newsela and whatnot had some things on how to teach the election and whatnot. There was an article that kind of jumped out at me. I think I kept it open, but I don't know if I kept it open on the right computer actually, but I kept it open and it was like about, it was a history teacher basically saying that like, he doesn't want to teach neutrality. He thinks neutrality is like a, objectivity is like a negative thing that he feels a need to take aside. And he came up with a really interesting, like he came up with an anecdote that I was like, whoa, what? Because he said that he said, for example, like he says teachers need to draw their red lines. That's a phrase that I've heard a couple times now, drawing a red line. And that's like a do not cross line. And he says, teachers need to draw their lines or red lines. And one of his red lines is that like, it's perfectly fine to have a debate or an argumentative essay where two students are argue over whether or not women, are represented properly in senior leadership positions in the company. He says, well, what's not acceptable is a conversation about how perhaps things were better when women were back at home, when there was more domesticity. And I'm like, But there's an argument to be made for domesticity, not necessarily women, but, you know, like for having a parent home. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would think. I don't know, I mean, it's not necessarily how I feel, but I'm like, how do you make that a red line that you won't cross? Like, you can't have students come up with empirical evidence over what the impact is of having two parents out there in the workforce. Like, that seems weird to me.
I feel like that's kind of – it's indicative of just, like, the political discourse now where there's nothing really galvanizing about being a centrist, where it's like, oh, like, yeah, you're balanced and you're trying to look at things in a logical way, but take a stand, you know, like believe in something, go all the way with it.
Right, right.
But people are kind of investing their entirety into things that if you kind of plumb the depths of both sides, like, they don't really know what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, it's all surface level.
Yeah.
Objective, like, you know, women staying at home is bad and this is good and blah, 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 blah. And there's arguments being made about everything, but it doesn't go past the point of, like, superficiality.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, I lean towards the left. I'm more, like, liberal, but, like, I don't know. I'm just finding that dialogue and just politics are just very up for grabs now are just concrete.
Yeah.
You are a liberal or you are a Republican and that is it.
And here's your list of things you believe in.
Right. Here you go. Both sides.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
On the right, they say, oh, well, like, they try to own, like, masculinity and stuff like that. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, you want to be, like, they say a cuck, right? Lib cuck, blah, 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 stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's another interesting thing that I was thinking about, where this is kind of a battleground for male identity.
Yeah.
Where, on both sides, like, who are we as men? And what's our position in society? And what should we cop to? And what should we not say sorry about? And what should we say sorry about? And stuff like that.
Right,
it's very, like, it's getting very primal. It's getting, like, it's touching the nerve of everybody.
Yeah.
That nobody really wants to talk about or, like, discuss, let alone base, like, a president on.
No, yeah.
And it's just, I feel like a lot of these things, and even not to go off on a tangent, but when we talk about when the students present their personal statements, and one teacher we worked with said, sometimes these students are talking about things that are so traumatic that they themselves don't quite understand it yet.
Mm.
And that was a great point. And I think, wow, that's kind of like this now.
Right.
We're fighting over things that we really don't understand yet.
Right. Because
we don't really have answers to these things yet.
Right.
Like gender and bubble and this and postmodernism and whatever.
Right.
We don't really have the answer yet, but we're sure about the conclusion.
Right. Why can't we just admit that? You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, who is it? Steven? Was it? I'm trying to think of the actor's name. He's a British actor. He appeared in a monk debate with Jordan Peterson against Neil deGrasse Tyson. I can't think of the
I know who you're talking about. I saw that debate.
Yeah, he's a brilliant scholar. I can't think Tyson, Michael Eric Dyson.
Danny DeVito. Oh.
No, Michael Eric Dyson. He's really brilliant, but but they got into it a little, but the actor though, Stephen Fry, I think was his name.
Yes.
And his main point that he wanted to make in that whole debate was, like, we have to get away from this idea of certainty, you know? And I think that kind of speaks to your point. Like, you're right. Like, there are a lot of changes. There is a lot of ways in which we could be more progressive and that we could, but we got to, like, be able to figure it out. And we got to be able to be clumsy and maybe a little bit uncertain about it. But, like, it's the climate, you know?
Like, it reminds me of, like, your friend, the writer, the one who wrote Let the Great World Spin.
Paul McCann.
One of the last lines of that novel is, the world keeps spinning and we stumble forward. Like, that's exactly what life is. Like, we stumble towards the truth with our best intentions intact.
Right.
But, and I saw that debate, and Dyson, right?
Yeah, Michael Eric Dyson is his name,
He at the end, his very closing argument epitomized exactly what Peterson and Fry were talking about. He made it racial. He swung it to that.
Yeah.
He's like, I remember he said,
oh, they want me to come up here and be like, oh, sorry, sir, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, when Peterson and Fight said nothing like that at all, but what they did do was eat his lunch totally throughout the debate.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And it's just, like, it comes that, like...
It becomes, like, that own. It's an own.
Yeah,
it's
mic drop.
Right, mic drop, exactly.
Can't say anything now. Yeah,
it's like, eats it up by now. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I used to watch him quite a bit on Bill Maher, and he did well, but he does have that aspect of him. When he feels, when he gets backed into a corner, he starts to get dismantled a little.
Yes.
He immediately goes to, like, that, well, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be back on your plantations. Like, what? I didn't even...
What do you mention? And he that's the end of the debate. He's like, he called Jordan Peterson, he's like, you're just a mean white man.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Peterson's like, what?
What are you talking? Hell of a thing to say. Right. I know, yeah. But what's weird is that, like, this is, like, not, like, and this is a this election is a referendum on that because they could not have picked a more milquetoast, you know, centrist candidate than Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I've been saying this all along. Like, I had a friend who was, like, he was talking a bit about how Joe Biden is a bit of a corporatist and whatnot. And I was like, yeah, but, and I was like, he was right on about, like, he's not a radical thing, but what's weird is that you, like, I'm an old, like, you and I think might be similar. Like, I'm an old school liberal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an old school, like, JFK, Bill Clinton kind of liberal. And there's like this weird division between, like, liberals like me and then, like, the progressives, I guess you call them all the, I don't know if I want to call them far left, but the progressives. And that's more like Gen Z, millennial generation, right? And, like, the to me, the principal difference between their brand of liberalism and my brand of liberalism is that, like, they want, like, a radical overhaul of America's policies and their systems and the economic structure, right? Where, like, I feel like my generation of liberals are still kind of trying to think about ways to maybe, like, nip and tuck and tweak and fix the system from within but maintain the kind of basic structure of how we're designed. Because I don't think we like to lose that lottery mentality we have. And I know it's a lottery mentality, but I'd rather that than than I know exactly where I'm going to end up when I die option, you know?
Right.
I kind of like the idea of America being a place where you can kind of, like, you know, you never know, right? A dollar in a dream, right?
Right. And I think, and this is just me thinking off the top of my head, I think that we're kind of steeped in a culture of impulsivity and not being rewarded. Like, on Instagram, social media, game shows, you know, to an extent, that's kind of archaic now. But just to think that it is all or nothing, that those are the stakes all the time. And that's how you know you're pushing the dial on life, when you're throwing those dice for all the money.
Right.
And I think it's really what you're saying and what the traditional liberals were touting, that progress is gradual. It comes, like, in little sweeps. Yeah. As you move forward,
right,
and that's becoming a harder and harder sell for both sides.
Right, right. Yeah. When I took a sociology class, they called it the difference between, it was like Darwin, I think, called it gradual social evolution, mm-hmm. or are you more of a Marxist who believes in violent sudden revolution? You know. Gradual right. social evolution versus violent sudden revolution. It seems like at least our camp is leaning more towards the latter. You know, we're standing in the midst of these really vocal, like, liberals, progressive liberals, like, you know, and you know, you and I we're pissed off about, like, income inequality. I don't like that. You know, the CEO of a company makes $30 billion, and then the janitor, like, if the CEO of a company makes $30 billion, I think the janitor should make $100,000.
Right, you're not going to run a business by upping a salary.
Yeah, like we're pissed off about income inequality and police brutality and systemic racism and sexism. But then the progressives that you hear, like, in the street or on social media, like, you know, they start going, like, there should be no such thing as billionaires, and dismantle corporations and abolish police, and silence is violence, and words are violence, and if you're not actively anti-racist, then you're a racist, and microaggressions and.
Right.
No, and then, like, old school guys like me are kind of like, well, let's pump the brakes on this, right? You know, because, you know, I don't know what you mean, you know?
And
you don't know what you mean. How many times do we hear, like, a slogan where somebody flips out and then the slogan has to be explained, right? We had that with like, defund the police, right? They started chanting defund the police, and it was like, what's that now? You know? what do you mean? And then everyone rolled their eyes and was like, okay, boomer or whatever. And they were like, they had to explain that it doesn't mean getting rid of the police. It just means redistributing the funding or diverting resources.
But use a different terminology then.
Has to be explained. Like, stop saying things and then having to explain it, you know?
Right, because you have to explain, like, you know, I live in my neighborhood's fairly conservative, and you have to explain to people that's not, like, they want to get rid of police. They want to get rid of police. I hear that all the time.
Right.
It's like, no, that's not what they mean.
That's just
like, well, that's what they're saying, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And everything is all just catchphrases and mottos. And what, to your point before, where it's like, you know, burn down the system, destroy the patriarchy, and blah, blah, blah. And then, okay, then build what in its wake?
Yeah.
Like, what's the next step?
All right,
you burned it down. Now,
congratulations. Now what? Yeah.
Right. Should we put other people in charge in the same type of system? Wouldn't that be patriarchy again? And like, I don't think it's not well thought out.
And get this, Greg, like, you and I are English teachers. It's a failure of language from people who have enormous amount of power over our language.
Yeah.
You know I'm saying, like, they have enormous amount of power over the things that you're allowed to say and not allowed to say, and yet they can't even get their own slogans right.
And it's coming from both sides, where this is like the thing that kind of keeps me up, where the left, as we spoke about, you know, the microaggressions and those phrases, but even on the right with, like, Donald Trump, he tried to sue journalists and, like, enforce libel laws against journalists and silence journalists. Like, that too is concerning.
Yeah.
So, like, both sides are just coming at, like, just crushing freedom of speech in their own way.
Right, right. Yeah, and then, yeah, exactly. Because then, that's, like, I can't even, the crazy thing, though, is that I guess I have a hard time even wrapping my head around somebody who embraces the right ideology anyway. I understand, like, for me, I'm attracted to the ideology of the left. Just by nature. So it's hard for me to understand. And especially, like, what really blows me away is just how many kids I went to high school with that are all going for Trump. Like, all, like, my Facebook and my Instagram are all, like, a lot. I have about 300 people that I follow and that follow me that I went to high school with. I went to a large high school with about 600 of us who graduated together. And I'm online with about 300 of them. And I want to say, like, 295 of them are going for Trump, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and, it's like, I don't know, man. These people grew up in the same economic disparity that we grew up in, the same kind of despair. We had addiction in our town. There was violence and crime and talk about being voiceless and powerless, you know? And then are they going to vote for, like, the perpetuation of that? I just don't understand it. Like, it's really hard to – I almost feel like this whole thing, this whole Trump election, and if he gets reelected, is like – it's like this weird, like – F your feelings vote. It's an F you vote. It's not about like policies. It's about wanting to see a kid with blue hair cry and scream in the street.
Right. It's spite. It's a total spite kind of gotcha vote.
Yeah.
And when you think about, like, what is the appeal of the right? And there's, like, I guess you could say, obviously, like, you know, low taxes and all that stuff. But I think it's really about, on both sides, it's identity, and I think right has this air of you made it. You're a self-made person. Don't let these guys take you down.
Right.
Like, it's this air of, if you walk away from the right, you're walking away from your own dignity and your own accomplishments.
Yeah.
And you'll never be able to succeed because you'll have to kind of stay amongst the masses.
Mm.
I think that's the appeal of, like, that Ayn Rand objectivism.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of, you can, I don't need the government to help me, I can make my own way.
Right, like, I can rise above it, I'm in my own way, I'm special.
But then they put, like, policies and structures in place that make that impossible.
And yeah.
It's damn near difficult to do anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you marry the two ideologies? Because I like the ideology. Like I said, I like the lottery mentality. But I also like there to be a little bit of realism mixed in there where you just go, okay, that not everyone's going to win the lottery. So what do we do to help people who can't win, who aren't going to win the lottery, so that they could at least make a living wage, you know?
And that's where, that to me, is one of the biggest weaknesses of the right, where their whole thing is, I got mine, screw off.
Right, right.
Like, in a society, if it is a society, you can't do that. You can't. It won't work.
Right.
And
yeah, I literally drove through town. I live right near a little village called Port Jefferson out here, and I was driving through, and there's a guy driving by today, this afternoon, with a bunch of Trump flags blowing out the back of his truck or whatever. It's always pickup trucks. These guys, they always drive around the pickup trucks. And it's not even that way. You don't need that pickup truck. We're in the middle of the summer. But anyway, and he's got this big banner covering the grill of his car, and it says, Trump 2020, fuck your feelings. That's literally what the banner said.
Of course.
You know? It's just like, you cannot have a society like that. No.
Because it's not a society. Yeah. It's just all for one and nothing for anybody else. Where if it's a free-for-all, just pure capitalist just game, it's just going to be state versus state, everyone against each other.
Yeah.
And we're going to just splinter into rogue factions.
Right, right, yeah. Gee, that's what I'm saying. I got my food here. I got my stockpile.
So everybody, Mr. McGivna has the food and the stockpile.
I got 10 pounds of flour. Can't nobody touch my olive oil.
You put it in your pickup truck. You
get mac and cheese and ketchup, like kids in the hall.
Yeah.
No, I agree, man. It's crazy. But is there a part of you, like, cause that's the other thought I had. I've been consumed by this whole thing. Like, is there a part of you that's kind of like, is there a little joker in you that kind of wants to see the world burn? I almost kind of want to see Trump.
I think it's in more people than we like to admit. Yeah. And because not liking other people is another base, like, kind of primal desire. Not trusting and not immediately warming to other people.
Yeah.
It's just something that's inherent in most people.
Right.
So, like, yeah, like, and I think it's not even about the other people and the people who are being suppressed or oppressed. It's just the system itself.
Yeah.
Where it's like you have a government that kind of ignores, like, the needs of the people. You have a two-party system that doesn't always work, and it's always kind of giving you a choice between two people you don't really want.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what Michael Moore kind of was before the first election, when he was saying, like, it's not really a vote to Trump, it's a vote to just push the plunger down and go kaboom on the system.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, yeah, just to watch it burn down and say,
then, you know, they want to think, like, you know, like, you got liberals and Democrats want to tear down the system, but then, you know, and, like, tear it all down, the patriarchy and, you know, no billionaires and corporations and defund police and all that. And then you look and you see Joe Biden as your candidate, like,
right.
And Kamala Harris, a top cop. Like,
yeah, I thought during the DNC watching it, I found a couple of other good candidates that I thought were way better than Joe Biden. Like, Andrew Yang is really interesting to me.
Yeah.
And Tulsi Gabbard, am I saying her name right? Gabbard?
Or Gabbard or something. Yeah.
Yeah. She's also, I feel like she's interesting because she doesn't really play by their rules and they don't really trust her. She's kind of like a lone wolf.
Yeah, yeah. Progressives don't trust her, though. They think she'll splinter right where she got into power. I know. I remember hearing progressives kind of, like, where they were very wary of her. They felt like she was a Republican in Democrats' clothing.
Disguise, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But
UBI, I liked the idea of universal basic income.
Yeah.
I kind of like that idea.
And Andrew Yang, like, he was talking about, like, the progression of technology and tech and all that. He's like, eventually that's going to decimate middle America.
Yeah.
You're not coding there. Like, you think in Wyoming they're learning how to, like, code?
Yeah.
Like, and by the time they said, oh, well, by that time we'll teach them. He's like, yeah, but technology is moving so fast. By the time they learn A, they're on C. By the time they're on C, they're on F.
No,
so it's, they need this universal basic income, which is in their benefit.
Right.
But the other side will say, oh, well, that's communist ploy, blah, 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 socialism, da, 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 this and that.
Yeah. Even though it's really just supposed to be enough to pay your
To live
groceries so you can pursue some things. Yeah. No, I know.
And it's weird, like, when you said, like, do you see a little joker in you? I feel like that's both sides in some way. Like, they both want to take down the system, which is weird. They have that in common.
Yeah,
they both see the system as deeply flawed and not to be trusted.
Right.
But they see it in opposite ways.
Yeah.
You know, the right's like lizard people. The left is like, yeah. I don't know, like, institutionalized racism and all this stuff.
Right.
where it's like, you guys have something in common there where you deeply, deeply distrust the government.
Yeah. I saw that today when there was on Twitter, advertising for an FX show called The Teacher. And it's like a female teacher who seduces her son. It looks like a Mary Kate kind of thing. Yeah. And so I read some comments from it. It was just funny because it was like, you had definitely some staunch liberals, like, you know, flipping out like, oh, this is sexualizing and disgusting power dynamic and blah, blah, blah. And it's, you had all these comments on the left that trashing it, that it was, you know, still objectifies women and rewards men and blah, blah, blah. And then you had on the other side, the comments were slamming them because it was promoting pedophilia and Save the Children and MAGA. And you see all these, and I'm like, that's so interesting to see these two sides completely converge on this one freaking film.
And not see it. Like, yeah, and not see the connection there.
Yeah. What's happening?
Oh, let's see. And the polls, let's see.
Yeah.
You ready for this? All right. Looks like, Texas is looking blue.
Wow.
It's too early to call, but Texas is looking blue. Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, West Virginia, South Carolina, red. Kansas, Montana, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania. I was going to say up and down the East Coast, but Maine looks pink.
Has North Carolina been called? Because I read in the Times that if Biden wins North Carolina, he pretty much has an overwhelmingly massive, he's going to win it.
From what I see.
I wonder how many precincts have reported.
I have not seen, it doesn't look like North Carolina has been called yet.
I'm nervous, man.
North Carolina, though, he is in the lead 52%.
All right.
That's good lead.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the Times said. I don't know, but they said if he wins North Carolina, his chances of winning the election goes up into like the 80th percentile.
Pennsylvania, 77%.
That was the other one that they said. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. Biden needs to win one of those states.
Yeah, well, he's not going to Florida.
No, he's not going to win Florida, right?
No. Florida looks like it's close, but it looks like it's leaning. It's 50.9% Trump.
I almost wish that there was a way to share electoral votes when it's that close, you know?
Yeah.
They, you know, like you, if you win the popular, you win the whole state, you know, all the electoral votes. Half the freaking state, you know, half the state voted for Biden and their vote doesn't count because, one extra person, you know?
Right.
No.
And it looks like North Dakota and Michigan are pink. Georgia's pink.
Michigan's another big one.
Yeah. Michigan, I guess, could go either way. They're not big. It's too early to call.
Trump just stumped in Michigan like yesterday. That was smart.
Yes. And they just said before that they had it, the Trump campaign had an aggressive Latino campaign, I guess, in Florida to get those votes, and they're saying it worked.
I did read that he had a slight uptick in the Latino vote. That he went up, went up a couple percentage points on support. You know?
Which is interesting too, because that's also a lot of times the conversation where there's always like, oh, it's white men, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
But there's this underlying minority that everyone's kind of looking past it.
You cannot ignore that Trump has a section of blacks' attention, you know, and the Latino community's attention.
And I think it's kind of like an FU thing where with those votes, and I mean, I don't know, obviously, these people, but like, I think it's where the Democrats, they feel too bold with minorities. Like, we got them in the bag.
We got them, we don't even have to talk to them. It's like,
who are you? What have you done for them recently?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys have decades to make policy changes and do this and that. What have you done, really?
Absolutely. Have you had a serious conversation about reparations? No.
Right.
Have you had a serious conversation about about expediting the process by which, you know, immigrants can come up from Mexico or from the border. Right. No.
Like, you sound good when you talk about, you know, gender equality and all this stuff, but what have you done?
No, nothing.
And I feel like a lot of minorities are kind of getting fatigued, just waiting around for the Democrats to get their act together.
Right, right. No, absolutely. They pander to them more than they speak to them, you know?
Yeah. It's like they own them.
It's just they want to tell them that they've been oppressed, they've been stepped on, and I understand and I feel your pain, right? And then that's it. The end of the conversation. Like, no, it's supposed to go, yeah, all
right. So we got it, right? We're good?
Keep your chin up, man. Keep your chin up and go to that poll. Like,
be in 4 years.
Yeah, not that Trump is going to do anything for them, but at least Trump's honest enough to be like, I'm not going to do anything for you.
And I remember watching the results the first time 4 years ago, and, you know, people were freaking out, like, oh, my God, he's winning, this and that. And one person in the room is like, well, you know, let's just hope, you know, he does well as a leader and blah, blah, blah. They said, how can you support this man, blah, 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 this and that. Like, he's such a, you know, POS, like, you know, he's such a piece of crap, this and that. And he said, you know, I'd rather have somebody who tells me they're going to punch me in the face and then punches me in the face rather than somebody who acts like my friend and then punches me in the face.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
No, that's a real
devil that you know.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Where, yeah, the Democrats, and it's sorry to say, they're coming like the lame duck party where they're just like this like shrill voice in the background, like, you can't do that. And like, while everyone else is doing it.
No fair.
Get off my feel like, yeah, we're becoming that. Where it's like whiny, ineffectual, no teeth. I don't know.
Yeah. I know. I was gonna say. I lost my train of thought. It'll come back to me. But
it was
probably, I was thinking, how much is a Biden, like, how much do you think is Biden a Band-Aid, you know? He's got to be just a Band-Aid, you know, because he's not going to do anything, I think, all that drastic.
Yeah.
Certainly not going to appease the Portland left. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think of like the Portland left and pocket. He's not exciting, but they're all going to vote for him because they're like, it's better than Trump. But that gets old pretty quick, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder, like, in future elections, how fringe both sides are going to become. Like, there's going to be like an Antifa party.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be like the Tea Party. There's going to be an Antifa party.
You know, and they probably should be, honestly, because they're not really aligned, you know, like they're not really aligned with the values of your average central liberal left guy, you know?
Oh, yeah, they are far to the left. Yeah,
eventually we'll die and whatever, but, you know, and they'll take over.
Well, I guess this whole program's useless.
Yeah, but for the time being, like, yeah, no, but I think you're right. There has to be, because, and that's what, you know, that's what's interesting about what happens if Biden wins, because I think it's going to go, I think a lot of liberals are going to be like, okay, the fire is out, you know, the dumpster fire is out.
Right.
We got this guy in office, and the only thing that we can do now is make sure that we can never get the dumpster fire can never flare back up again. And so we need to push this. We need to push our policies way out on the ice floe in order to change the country to the level that we want to change it. Because Biden's not going to get that done, you know.
Little update: Illinois is blue, Biden. New Mexico blue. Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota, and Nebraska red. Trump. Maine is still pink. Georgia's pink. South Carolina red, obviously. North Carolina blue.
Right.
But they haven't called it yet.
Right, but it's still.
It looks like Joe Biden has 119 electoral votes, and Donald Trump has 92.
Okay.
Close.
Yeah. Wait. You need 260, right?
Yeah, close. It's close.
Yeah, it is close, actually. 119. He's closing the gap, because when I looked last looked, it was 88 to 55 or something like that. Biden.
And this, after this election, which I think we all saw coming, like how divided country is going to be for a good amount of time.
Especially if this is as close as Trump Hillary or as close as Bush Gore. because if this comes down to the courts, I can't even imagine. I'm glad I'm home. That's all I have to say. I'm glad I'm a remote teacher. Because if I
had not,
you're going to be driving into some turned over vehicles on fire.
Let me see. It's still basically the same now. Oh, wait, no. Wisconsin looking red.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise
California
me.
California red. I'm kidding.
What's it, California? Well, yeah. I told my wife, I was joking around, but I was only half joking around. I was like, I driving around here, I'm starting to get the feeling Trump's going to get New York.
around some of the neighborhoods.
Hell, and you're in Queens. Do you see a lot of it?
Oh, yeah. Queens, really? Queens is very diverse like that, though. Queens, yeah. Every other neighborhood is very different. Like, you have very conservative neighborhoods and, like, ultra-left neighborhoods.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, around here, it's pretty conservative. Yeah. But if you go, like, more towards the city, I guess more towards, like, Elmhurst, stuff like that, although I really don't know. But I'm pretty sure Elmhurst probably lean. I don't know, actually.
I don't know. It's hard to. That's a very Hispanic community. That's where our kids are.
It's just a very everything community. There's just so much there.
It's true, yeah. I'm curious. I mean, I certainly didn't see any Trump banners flying around in Queens when I was traveling in, but, you know.
You didn't see that the last time either, though.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Yeah, I mean, right. I didn't see it the last time.
Right, so they'll surprise you. I was reading something say the appeal of Trump is, like, that he taps into something that people are just tired of hearing about identity politics. And,
yeah, right. You know,
this is my preferred whatever.
Yeah.
And it's really just a laissez-faire type president where you guys just do whatever you want. I'll be here.
Right.
You know, when you need me, bother me, but I'll be here.
Yeah. No, it's true. I was thinking that just before we started, this was like, he has there definitely is like a working class, working man appeal to him. Average Joe is appealed. Right. That, and I think it just has to do with them. I think what it has to do is the fact that he, I don't know, I almost equate him to Eminem, you know, the rap star who was always about just like, you know, like he had a huge cult following because he was very like stick his middle finger up and,
right.
You know, F you and F that and F the establishment. And Trump kind of shoots from the hip like that. And I think that, I don't know, they get, I've spoken to some, like, cause I have some in my family, some of these Trump meatheads, and they're going kind of like, well, you know, he doesn't care what people think. He speaks, he says the things that I'm thinking and I can't say here, you know? Because then I'll get fired or I'll get, you know, and there's an appeal to that. I think there is definitely a demographic out there that's kind of like, we like voting for a guy who speaks his mind, says whatever he wants, makes fun of retarded people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but there's also, I know a lot of business owners around here and they told me stuff that as a non-business owner, I never knew, where like under like Democratic administrations, there's a lot more kind of like what they consider like pay ups where people, oh, you don't have this here. Oh, you got to pay the city $10,000. That's not over there. Got to pay the city $10,000.
Oh, wow.
And like they kind of knock in the businesses more under the Democrats, which I never knew.
Yeah.
Because they have like, you know, Department of Health and this and that. And they're coming in. Oh, they like, this knob is turned like this, but should be turned like this. That's $5,000.
Right.
It's like, and they feel like they're just getting killed. They're getting squeezed out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's kind of, like, their ire that's coming out. I think it's a mistake to say that, like, they're voting for Trump because, like, they don't like minorities or something like that. It's more, if you look at it, like, through a business owner's angle, it's more about keeping their business afloat. He wants to open up the economy. He doesn't care about the coronavirus.
Right.
I own a business. I don't want to go bankrupt.
Right.
Like, it's easy for me as a teacher, you know, getting paid virtually in, out, whatever.
Right.
To say that. But as a business owner, they're 7 days a week. I see their point. Like, yeah. I see their point of their livelihoods are getting demolished.
Right. Right. No, absolutely. No, it's tragic what's happening to a lot of people. It's really sad. And the chances of them ever coming back and recovering from it are slim to none, you know? People
right.
really, and, you know, I sympathize with anybody, man. It's hard to get a business up and going, to get it successful, to get it turning a profit, to enough where you can keep a roof over your head, especially in New York, you know, and some of these cities.
Absolutely. Like,
Jesus Christ, the rents on these places alone, you know?
Are crazy, yeah. So, like...
Yeah, like, I go into my town, the little village here, really expensive village to live in and expensive village to shop in, right next door to me, Port Jefferson. And there's a psychic who has a location on Main Street. I'm like, how do you pay your rent? Who comes...
Yeah. There's a psychic on Bell. She's been there for years and years and years.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, they just know how to... They see the future.
Don't tell me the bagel store that you took me to went under. They didn't go under, did they?
Utopia? No, I think they're still around. They're still there.
It's really
good. Quality lasts.
I need to go.
But, that's true. Like, yeah. You look at some places where in Manhattan. I went to Manhattan last month.
Mm.
Very different.
Oh, really?
Way more homeless. Like those restaurants that like, you need a reservation. Maybe we'll see you in 2 months. They're like, no, no, please come in. Yeah, we'll take you. Like everything is just.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a desperation.
Right before we went into shutdown in March, my wife showed me a deal for a hotel that was overlooking Central Park. It was in the Central Park, that little Columbus Circle right at the entrance of Central Park. I forget the name of the hotel. It was like a ritzy hotel. It was like $89 for like the honeymoon suite. I was like, oh, that hurts. Yeah. That's a $500 a night room, you know.
Yeah,
offering it for like $89, but there was nothing you could do there because they were shutting everything down. It was right,
yeah.
Literally, this deal was like 2 days before de Blasio shut the schools down.
And that's kind of leading us into now the coronavirus, like this whole topic, where there is so much information and misinformation and different viewpoints on the severity of it. Elon Musk, I think, came out a couple months ago and said everyone is greatly over-exaggerating the severity of it. He's like, by a magnitude of 10.
Mm.
But then you have people like Bill Gates saying the complete opposite, that we need to take this very seriously and get vaccinated. And you have like these big wig, hyper-intelligent, tech-savvy geniuses on the opposite end of this angle. And then you have a president who seems like it's not a big deal. Governors who seem like it is a really big deal. And it's just like, who am I listening to right now?
No,
what is going on?
What is the truth? I have no idea. Yeah, because then I just saw a headline just popped up on my feed about a couple hours ago that like a record number of young children just tested positive with coronavirus, like 116,000 or something in the country. Yeah. Like, what the hell? Because we were under the impression that was really manifesting itself very mildly in children, you know. But where I live in my school district, the high school and the middle school are closed for a few days because some kids went out over the weekend without masks and they came back to the school and tested positive.
Yeah, you're hearing from like even from health professionals, like you're hearing kind of these divergent accounts about how severe it is. And then you get like the conspiracy theory. I've heard crazy. Have you heard about the people believe that vaccinations may have like microchips in them?
No, I haven't heard of that yet. But yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And it's just like, oh, well, it's Bill Gates. He wants to track everybody. Like number one, first, everyone with the cell phone's being tracked. It doesn't matter if you have a microchip in you. Number two, all it takes is one scientist in any country ever to look in the, be like, wait, there's a microchip in this vaccination.
Yes.
And like blow the whole lid open. Like everyone would have to be in on it. Everyone, even the people getting the vaccinations. Like, I don't understand how these get legs. These
Alex Jones is that the government wants to control you.
He was on Joe Rogan.
I listened to the whole thing. It's great.
The other day, he is, even if you don't agree with him, he does have like that appeal where it's like, what is he going to say next?
Well, the crazy thing, and Joe says this all the time, is that like, you know, 50% of the time he kind of does uncover something that's correct. And even 50% is good. That's a good ratio. I'll take that. I'll take somebody who can get 50% of the horse shit that our government is doing, you know, or that somebody's doing.
Over here. I wanted to see the TV, see the results.
Oh, yeah. Because I wanted to know, like, what is the – because I never trust my government when they say they're doing something to protect me, you know? Like, I want to run the other direction because you're not trying to protect me. This whole idea of safety and protecting people to me is it's just euphemism for control, you know? But that's like that old Vietnam era. Like, my parents were, well, my mom was an anti-war activist, but my parents grew up in the 60s, I grew up believing that my government was lying to me 90% of the time, you know? So when they talk about protecting, and you know what? I'll even extend that to the culture, like in the culture war thing. When you're trying to protect me from words, or when you're trying to protect me from stories or from books, or protect not me necessarily, but protect people, you're trying to control them. It has nothing to do with protect. It has, like protection or safety. I lost you.
Hello? Oh, sorry. It feeds into why these conspiracy theories get legs, where there is that level of like kind of logic where I know the government isn't just doing this for my own benefit.
Yeah.
Like, that's almost never the case.
No, no.
So when it's like, oh, back, wear masks. It's like, why do they want us to wear masks?
Yeah, yeah.
And then people start thinking, is that a part of control? Giving up civil liberties? Is that the first step?
Right.
And then you have anti-maskers, anti-vaxxers, anti-everything. And this is it's such a confusing time.
Yeah.
Where I feel like with the 60s, like your parents grew up, I feel like there are two sides.
Yeah, yeah.
Like multiple sides within one side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. We're getting it from like every direction. In the 21st century, there's people coming for you in every direction, you know.
Yeah,
and it's not as simple as the Jesse Ventura, you know, like conspiracy.
Why wouldn't they let me into the airport?
Mind control. The government is doing mind control.
They won't let me onto the tarmac at an airport. Why not?
It's the HARP unit. A HARP unit that's implanted in everyone at birth.
You see how the buildings came down? Conspiracy? I think yes.
Why does it say unauthorized personnel not permitted?
Why can't you just walk into the White House?
It's just like, no, that's, you know, but I don't know, man. Yeah, but it's a trip, because then you look at what they're laying out. Like, when you see the motivation for wanting to control, that's when I start to believe it, when the motivation is there, you know?
Yeah, and even with the people looking further ahead into the future, when, and I'm almost positive this is going to happen, when people just start upgrading into cyborgs, at least parts of their bodies,
yes.
Like, whoever put something, whoever blends themselves with this new technology, whoever put that technology in you,
yeah,
are they going to control you now?
Right.
Like, are you just going to believe them that they won't? Are they going to put something in your head, like, wake up, I need to buy this today?
Right.
Like, just, it's odd.
They can turn your brain into an algorithm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's that's what creeped me out when Google Glass came out. And I know it didn't take off, but like, Google Glass are those glasses you were supposed to wear. It's like, when we start wearing technology on our face, it's time to maybe reconsider. Like, when you start putting the technology on your body.
Have you seen the movie Upgrade?
No.
It was an interesting movie, again, about like in the near future, people upgrading their bodies with, you know, cybernetic stuff. But the one part that caught my attention was that in the future, the new drug addicts were addicted to virtual reality.
Mm.
And that's like, yeah, that would be way more powerful than most drugs, where it's the exact type of reality you want.
Yeah, yeah.
For like an hour at a time.
Oh, yeah. I'd sign up for that.
Most people would. Like, you're a fantasy, whatever life you want to live, you want to be James Bond, you know, like.
Yeah.
You can have that. And there's no bad trip or anything like that.
Right,
or
right.
Overdose.
Yeah.
And that becomes your life. That fake life becomes your life.
But meanwhile, you're in a trance with some helmet on your head or something.
Right.
So they can come up to you and do God knows what. It's like when you're on nitrous at the dentist office.
Right.
And you tell them, go ahead, take all my teeth out. I don't give a fuck.
Right. I'll sign whatever.
I don't care. Just sign this liability waiver. You'll never sue us. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's...
Yeah, no, well, that's true. What's the...
Texas is dead even. 49.3 for both.
Wow.
So, wow, that's going to...
There's a lawsuit. Show me on the screen, how many lawsuits do you see?
Lawsuits?
Oh, yeah, with that Trump or Trump's going to file to get recounts. How many recounts are you looking at?
You know, I...
How many legal contentions are they going to be?
I feel like this is naive. I feel like if he loses, he'll be like, blah, blah, blah. But he'll scurry away. He has his base.
Yeah.
And he'll set up just a new... Like, Trump is... I think this is ultimate saying. Trump is probably the most powerful Republican, is the most powerful Republican in the country.
Yeah.
So, like, he defines the party now.
Sure.
So, like, he'll be mentors to other candidates. Like, he's not going to go just disappear.
Yeah.
He has a far career ahead of him.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, if he loses this, yeah, he'll probably, like, say this, this, and that. But I don't – and I might be proven totally wrong.
You don't think he's going to contest it? Yeah, who knows?
I don't think it's going to be that big of a drawn-out fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
– I don't know. Hey,
come tomorrow, I may be totally wrong about that.
I mean, and I'm maybe I'm not being fair to Trump because maybe Biden would do the same thing. I mean, there's been a lot of –
Yeah,
there's been a lot of I've heard a lot of shady stories about some of these ballots that aren't getting counted and ballots. There was, like you mentioned, Wisconsin. I read an article about a woman who mailed her ballot in and then she died. You know, like she mailed her ballot in, she was dying of cancer, so she voted early for Biden and mailed it in and all that. And then I don't know why. I don't know if they had to like were they. I don't know what the process is with these mail-in ballots. So. Whether they had to recontact her to confirm that it was her ballot. I don't know what, but like it went up to the courts and the court said, yeah, no, we can't count her ballot. They ripped up her ballot. Like her vote didn't count.
Really?
Yeah. It was really strange. I'm like, what the, and that was in Wisconsin. It's just so like how many people, I mean, I don't know how many people are voting and then dying. Probably not a very large number, but, but there's a lot of weird shit going on. So I'm saying, that's why I feel like, so, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Biden was like, you know what, let's recount Texas again. Let's recount, you know, whatever, what are the states are close? Is it Texas looks, oh, you said Maine, right?
Maine, yeah. Maine, Colorado looks pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colorado would be sweet. The Republicans have won Colorado a number of years in a row now, I believe.
Pennsylvania is looking strongly for Biden. Only 12% reporting, but
okay.
So far, it looks pretty strong for him.
Yeah, East Coast polls just closed a couple hours ago. So
Wisconsin looks like, I mean, these are all like, you know, like 8%. But so far, Trump's ahead.
Okay.
This is, like, I don't know if this works. But, like, if you look at the map here, like, it's pretty, like, even so far.
Yeah. Well, look at the whole western side of the country hasn't been decided yet.
Right. So, I mean, we know California, Oregon, Washington, we know there's not going to be a surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
Nevada, who the hell
knows? Probably already, in fact, those electoral votes that are there, the 122, they probably already factored in California, right?
Yeah.
They probably already factored those numbers in.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of weird, man.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, well, why don't we just let Michigan, Ohio, and Florida vote on a, you know, and the rest of us just stay home at that point.
Yeah.
No.
And
did you vote? I probably shouldn't ask you that. Do you?
Yeah, I voted.
I'll be honest, I don't. I don't vote, actually.
You didn't vote?
I don't get involved. Yeah. Yeah, I stay out of it. But I have that luxury, I guess, a little bit because I am in a blue state. I was just telling my wife this the other day. I think if I was in a red state, I might be more tempted to go out, you know. But because I'm in a blue state,
New York's pretty solidly blue, and that's not changing anytime soon.
Yeah.
Georgia, I think it's looking like Trump.
Shit.
It's
like it's early to call it for these states.
Oh yeah, it's super early to call it now. Hold on, let me grab my sticker. All right. Yeah. So this is definitely like I've been like in contacting people on the phone too, and they are all nervous on both sides. Like nobody knows where this is going.
Right, right.
New York went Joe Biden. That's obvious.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to know if he got North Carolina, that would be so huge. And he got Kansas, which is big. Although I didn't hear anyone talk about Kansas, so maybe they knew.
We didn't get it yet.
Oh, we didn't get it. Oh, okay.
We didn't get it yet. It's being decided. It's like shaded blue, but they're not calling it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Texas would be amazing, too. Texas would pretty much seal it for him. If you got Texas and North Carolina.
I don't remember Texas ever being this close.
No.
Wow, this is truly a election where every vote counts, except, I guess, McGinnis. But every vote counts.
Yeah.
Except yours, I guess.
You're gonna realize how meaningless your vote was.
You hear that, everybody?
Participate in these foolish elections. I'm with Carlin. It is an illusion. It is an illusion that you have power. These foolish elections.
Yeah. Just move to... I don't know. And you know what I've been seeing on YouTube a lot? These ads, like, move to Canada.
I have not. Really? Have you?
Which have been supported by, like, the Canadian Tourism and Government Board or whatever.
I've been watching too many Jordan Peterson videos.
I guess.
He's up there. I wonder. Yeah, that's an algorithm thing. Yeah, I haven't seen any of that.
Yeah.
Although, honestly, I haven't really been on YouTube in quite a while. So, maybe, you know, it's been...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah, it's yeah. So far, nothing changing yet. Let me see. Okay.
Anything changing in North Carolina?
North Carolina. It's still like it's shaded blue, but they didn't call it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Oklahoma, I think I called that one already. Oh, Texas is red now. Texas, 49.4% versus 49.3%.
Jeez.
Wow. It's exciting. I'll give it that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I think if Biden wins, I don't see anything radically different changing. I think it's like what you said. It's pretty like a middle road milk toast.
Yeah.
Presidency, yeah. No frills.
No, just stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Trump wins, though, can I ask you, what do you think is best case scenario?
Oh, Jesus.
What do you think?
Best case scenario would be if Trump wins, but the Democrats get the Senate. They can hamstring them a little, you know. My fear with that, and I didn't think about this until today, but my biggest fear with Trump winning is that he doesn't have a re-election to worry about. He can do whatever the hell he wants because that guy does whatever he wants anyway, you know what I mean? And he had an election to worry about. So can you imagine what he's going to do now that the gloves are off, you know? But he won't be able to do it if he doesn't have the House, if he doesn't have the House and the Senate. You know,
but
lame duck him. Like, they kind of lame ducked Obama, you know?
What can I ask you, what do you think? Gloves are off, he's in it, second term. What's the worst thing he'll do?
Oh, what's the worst thing he'll do? For me, personally, I think he's going to – I think one thing he's definitely going to do is remove – I don't know how bad this will be, but I think he's going to remove the protections from tech companies – that prevents them from getting like sued and held liable for some of the things that get said on their platforms. There's a protection right now. I forget what the section is called, but there's a section that protects like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube from being sued if one of their users produces content that causes violence or, you know, causes harm. they're Trump and them want to remove that, you know. And I think if they remove that, you're going to see the tech companies are going to overreact, because every company overreacts to everything. And they're going to be banning everything left and right. The ability for us to express ourselves in the public square the way we have through social media is going to be very dicey. You know, that's one thing I see happening, you know, one consequence, because I don't think Trump likes the way he's been treated by Twitter and by Facebook, you know. So that's one thing. I think he's going to hamstring the tech companies to the point where they're going to be ultra sensitive to anything that comes across their platform, so that they don't get sued out of existence. And that's going to put some pretty, that's going to really limit free speech. I think that's one issue I have.
That's interesting. I think
I don't think he's going to build the wall any more than he's already built, you know?
Right.
I don't know. What do you think he's going to, what do you think? What is he talking about doing? I don't know. All he does is make fun of people.
That's the thing. Like what I think he's really hands off. I feel like he's, I don't know what, like, as you said, I don't know what he's going to push through that he has really has big plans on, because I don't really know any of his plans.
Yeah.
And that's concerning. Yeah,
like I mean, he's not saber rattling against anybody. Like, I don't think he's going to put us into a war.
Right.
I don't think he's going to build the wall. I think he might, you know, I think he might ratchet up the separation of families at the border and stuff. I think he might keep going with that policy, especially since he doesn't have to worry about re-election.
Like, the worst thing I see is not so much what, like, a direct act, well, an indirect, I guess, action is this, the rising tensions amongst the people, where there will be conflict.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't, and I think Joe Rogan said this, like, Trump likes to slam dunk on people.
Yeah.
Where, like, after he won and Hillary came out the next day and she had, like, this, like, podcast, like, What Happened? That was the title of it. And yeah. Then he tweeted, I happened. Boom. He just, like, he loves nailing people.
Yeah.
And when you're the president, like, yeah, it's amusing, but, like, you're pitting a lot of people against each other in your country.
Right.
Like, a lot of civil unrest is going to bubble up.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like a lot of people are voting for Biden to just ease that down. Like, as you said, stop the bleeding. Just,
yeah.
Like, bring the tension down, bring the conflict down.
Yeah.
Like, we could be headed toward a massive, almost civil war-like,
I know,
scenario.
Yeah, I think in the, you know, the more I think about it, it's probably going to be more violent if Trump wins, because I do feel like it's going to embolden a lot of those real extreme groups, you know, and if he wins, he's going to get protested, as just about every president who wins gets protested.
Yeah.
But the protests are going to get counter protested by these right wing wacko, you know, whack jobs. And it's going to get violent, you know, like, cause it's not going to be about, because we know, we've already seen the evidence that the left is not going to just sit there and let their heads get clubbed in, you know? Right. And so I don't know, like, I see, like, if he wins re-election, I think there's going to be massive fights in the streets and probably some killings at the inauguration. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be massive, demonstrations in just about every city. And those demonstrations, they keep, like, that's the thing now. Like, nobody lets anybody just demonstrate and just stays home and ignores them. You know, everyone's got to come out and counter demonstrate, you know?
Yeah.
And that's happening on both sides. Like you said, like, I know, you know, like there was over here, there was this horrible Trump caravan that came through our town and they went through Port Jefferson and you know, like, my feeling on it was like, just ignore the idiots. Like, if you're going to 7-Eleven, just go to 7-Eleven and get back in your car. But of course they had to be counter protested. Their parade had to get met head on with, like, a group of Biden people to just yell at them from across the street and throw stuff at their trucks. And, you know, the next thing you know is, like, they're swinging on each other. And it's like, why did you even need to show up? Let them roll through their stupid town with their stupid Trump flags. And then they go home and they masturbate and life goes on.
Addicted to conflict now.
Oh yeah. Like, they,
I think that's, it's a,
well, rush. And they feel it's their duty to confront it. Like, it's my duty to confront, You know, I can't just sit it out. You know, I can't just let you go through the street.
The world needs me.
The world needs me to come to its rescue. Yeah. And I think it's, that happens, you know, and I mean, like, that's the Proud Boys of that, you know, the Proud Boys, they, you know, some right wing speaker is going to give a speech or whatever, and they feel the need to be their security detail.
Like, did you ever hear how they got started?
Yeah, I did.
Wasn't that crazy?
Insane. Insane. I know. And then it's coming up in presidential debates. I know.
Yeah. Just like this little
a joke from this little guy who can't date. I know. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Yeah, but they're showing up at all these at these they're showing up at these protests to do security detail, like the way the Hell's Angels were security detail for the Rolling Stones. Like, no,
it worked.
Yeah. What could go wrong? You know, like, ugh. But that's what they do. They show, you know, and that's what happens. They show up to protect this person. Then next thing you know, they're swinging on each other in the streets. And I think that happens. I think that happens. I think it's going to happen more if Trump gets elected than if Biden does. You know, like I do think a lot of the real extreme. I think the Proud Boys, for example, like a good percentage of them are just going to kind of slither away to the recesses of the internet and bitch about Biden. He's a socialist and blah, blah, blah. I don't see them showing up at his inauguration or showing up at, you know.
Yeah. Like, I have a friend who's like, oh, well, they're open carrying around. Like, what if they just start shooting if Biden wins? And it could happen. I don't think it will happen. As like what you said, I think it's they're going to just kind of recede back into the depths of the corners of the internet.
Yes.
And I don't see them open, you know, driving around opening fire. I don't think so.
Whereas if Trump wins, I think they're gonna want to run out into the streets and look for liberal tears to go make fun of, and then it's going to turn into a fist fight,
which is again it's a shame, because it's one America versus another now. It's not like the country united.
Yeah
and we love to hate each other. It's like it's great. And it's really unhealthy to just build our country on that. Just like hating the other part of our country.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, like I'm going back to it, but like the way out of this thing is supposed to be through our conversations and our dialogue and our speech. And what is the one thing that's being attacked, you know, in just about every precinct is our speech, you know?
Jordan Peterson, he said, like, it's logos made flesh. Like, that's what his argument is. That's what debate is. And you need to risk being offensive, and you need to risk kind of like touching upon sacred cows.
Right, right.
In order to make progress. And it can shut down debate on both sides.
Right.
Which both sides are doing in their own way.
Yeah.
It's just a recipe for disaster. It's conflict.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Where are we in America right now?
So how many precincts are reporting in Texas, though? Like, what's the percentage of?
Texas is 64% reporting now. 49.7% of Trump.
Yeah.
49% Biden. Wow. Neck and neck in Texas. Pennsylvania is now 53.6% Biden, 45.3% Trump, 17% reporting. So they still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Who's basically done now? Ohio, 70% reporting, 49.8% Trump, 48.9% Biden. Wow. Things are like every minute they're just
flipping back and forth.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So are you in the camp that we're really not going to know who wins this thing for the next couple of days, or?
I think we'll find out by tonight. I think we'll find out by like late tonight, probably midnight, 1 a.m., something like that.
Yeah.
We'll have like a good idea. Like, yeah, he probably won. Like, they might take a few days to make sure everything's verified, but.
Right.
But wow, is like every state, like there's no real blowout states.
Mm.
I didn't know Maine was like Republican.
I didn't know either. I thought Maine was similar to Vermont.
Right. I thought the whole Northeast was basically just one blue line.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
North Carolina is still shaded blue, but let me see what percentage they're up to.
Yeah, I think North Carolina is. What the heck? 86% reporting.
North Carolina?
Yeah, 86% reporting, 49.7% Joe Biden, 49.2% Donald Trump.
Damn.
Howie Hawks, 0.2%.
What?
He's in the race.
Oh, my God. I don't know who that is. I never heard of that.
The Howie Hawk? No, I don't know.
Not, what about Kanye?
I was thinking, like the writing candidates, would they ever start trending? You know, like Kanye, Vermin Supreme. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Let me see.
The AP is projecting that Biden's going to win Colorado.
Yeah, I think it looks like they're projecting that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oof. Wow, take a look at it. You're probably looking at it in your screen, right?
Not looking at the map. What are you looking at, a map? Hold on.
The map, yeah.
I'm just on MSN's homepage. Yeah. Let me see it.
MSN, okay, boomer.
I know. It's my Hotmail account.
AOL dial-up?
Texas is pink. Kansas, Georgia. Georgia's still pink.
Yeah.
That would be huge if he can get Georgia and North Carolina. If he can get Georgia or Texas, I think he can win this.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure like Atlanta probably swung blue.
Yeah.
Savannah. Yeah.
What about Puerto Rico? I'm assuming they went blue, but
doesn't say.
Yeah, doesn't say.
Hawaii, yeah, and Alaska, nothing yet. All everything right. On the West Coast, nothing.
West Coast is gonna be all, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Texas and like Ohio, they're just every other couple of minutes they're flipping back and forth.
Yeah, Ohio. I don't know. Ohio's big. Michigan's big. It's weird because like you hang your hopes on like that's, you know, like the Times article that came out this morning makes you kind of hang your hopes on some of those southern states like North Carolina, Florida, Georgia. But if Biden loses a state that they assumed would go to him, then that cancels that out in some ways, you know, depending on a state.
Yeah.
You know?
It looks like it says Biden has 131 and Donald Trump has 92, but there's still these big states that haven't been called yet.
Yeah, and like I said, those numbers are already factoring in California, right? Because I'm trying to see how he's going to get to 260. But they probably already factored in California and New York.
Yeah.
Although, who would they have factored in for Trump, I guess? Because I would assume, I bet you the Times probably assumed Trump was going to take Texas hands down, going away, you know?
Yeah. I think there were, like, the last couple of days there's been murmurings where it's, like, Texas it may be more divided than one's thought. Like, I think, like, Arizona is pretty much going to be red. That I think, like, that's not going
to
change.
I was hoping Arizona would go to Biden. That's one of the girls I went to high school with lives in Arizona, and she's...
She didn't change the vote?
She's like 2 and 9. No, I guess not. I just hear her go on and on about she's anti-mask, she's QAnon, she's all this horse shit, you know?
Yeah, they're just going over like Alabama and Arkansas and all that stuff. But yeah, I think they were saying for a couple of days that Texas and even Florida weren't predictable anymore.
Yeah.
Florida's never predictable.
Nope.
I guess. Oh, Missouri is like shading blue.
Hmm.
Yeah, Missouri shading blue and Montana.
It's because our friend Max Mosley moved back.
He's the lone vote changing it. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not Montana. Minnesota.
Minnesota's blue?
It's shading blue. It's not completely blue yet.
It would go blue. Jesus Christ. They just had the George Floyd killing there.
Yeah. But like then you have like the repercussions of that on both sides, where it's like you have the George Floyd killing, then you have the riots and the protests.
Right.
And both people now see different things.
Yeah.
Like institutionalized racism versus these people are out of control. It's craziness. We need to keep the mobs down.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a classic. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then in the middle of all that, you've got agent provocateurs smashing windows who aren't really protesters, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. I think there's always, like, the anarchists who just – the jokers. They just want to rile things up. They want to, you know, throw the rubber spider into the slumber party. Right. They want a reaction.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that's misrepresented often by the media. The media – I hate how they do this. They always kind of portray something and then like they're the innocent neutral victims. Right. And people are turning against us. Why would they turn against the media? It's like, well, because for years you've had an obvious bias on both sides again.
Right.
Where it's like, you can't just play the victim. Like, oh, why did Trump win? I don't know, CNN, maybe because you played his commercials all the time and you spoke about him constantly.
Yeah.
Like you gave him free press all the time.
How do you take the profit motive out of journalism? Because it seems to be like the.
And who would be a journalist?
Yeah, I know. Because that seems like the only way to really solve our problem with our media now. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's.
You know, it's just everybody. You know, like I don't know. I feel like we have like my generation is guilty of this as well too. Like, I think we grew up idolizing guys like Woodward and Bernstein and all that, but. And even Cronkite maybe, but like they did their time. Like did you know? Like they did a lot of neutral, even-handed reporting. You know, you just know the highlights of him like breaking down a little bit when JFK died, or you know what I'm saying, or taking down Nixon. But a lot went into their work before they took down Nixon.
Right.
You know, and Nixon also they had the convenience of Nixon actually breaking the law. But I think now we've got all these young Woodward and Bernsteins running around and that they want to change the world with their journalism. I don't think it's supposed to work that way.
But it's because you know their names and everybody likes that. Like everyone wants that to be that colorful journalist
with
a signature on it. Where I just saw a documentary on HBO, these two New York journalists. I just forgot their names, but it'll come to me eventually. But they had like these very unique writing styles where reading the newspaper article sounded like literature almost. Mm-hmm. And they had like this tone and they use these metaphors that weren't used at that time.
Right.
But they also had like a slant to their stories, but it was provocative and interesting.
Yeah.
Where it's again like being a centrist, it's not galvanizing, it's not attractive to many people because you're the logical one in the room who's just kind of keeping balance, which is completely necessary.
Yes.
Everybody wants their flair.
Yeah.
Like New York One. You watch New York One?
I don't get it out here anymore, but I used to watch it when I was...
One of the best stations because it's just like, this is what the New York Post says and this is what the New York Times says.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right.
That's all they say. Nothing else.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, that's real objective journalism.
Right.
There's no slant. There's no bias. There's no tone shift. There's no smug joke. There's nothing.
Right.
But people want the flair. People want the show.
Yeah, it's like it's everywhere you look, there's like a weird cult of personality thing going on, you know?
Yeah, especially with social media.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the symptoms, I guess, you know?
Yeah, like how do you tell this new generation be balanced and neutral?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Why? Right.
There's no
Everyone answer. Becoming famous isn't.
Right. Yeah.
What are we doing? Why are we schmucks? We need to get more flair.
Yeah. Well, anything new?
Let's see. Texas has seceded.
What? Oh, let me check my Boomer MSN to see what it says.
MSN.
Yeah, my MSN.
Some old news there.
Yeah. President Taft.
Let's say Battlegrounds, too early to tell.
Yeah.
And another news.
The cause of the future.
The sea urchin is flying in. Wave to the crowd.
Have yourself a Lucky Strike cigarette.
You'll never get a peanut unless you have Planters peanuts.
Planters peanuts. For people who like peanuts.
It's a peanut of choice for our famous pilot, Hindenburg. Oh, my God, what is happening?
Oh, the humanity. Just like, we need to go back to those days of people just yelling through the microphone.
We have an election here. Look at, oh, what is this? Him? Oh, no. I don't know why. I thought something... I thought it was something, something new, but it doesn't look like that. It looks like it's still kind of like everything is holding still.
Yeah, everything's pretty standstillish.
Yeah.
I said they're saying Nevada and Iowa, they'll start calling it around 10, but they'll start polling it.
Check out Zeldin for me again.
Zeldin, okay.
What are you on, that 548 thing or whatever? Is that what you look at, Mr. I get all my news from reliable sources?
How did you know that's what people call me? But yes, let me check that.
Is that what it is? 548 or whatever it's called? Yeah, what's up with Zeldin?
Nothing. There's first results expected soon. Nothing yet.
All right.
Yeah. How much would you hate if he won? Like by a landslide?
He's so obnoxious. He's just so obnoxious. I've even dealt with him when I was in journalism. I was covering a local community in this area that has a really big school district, second biggest district in the county, school district. And they took him, you know, I mean, it's kind of their own fault, but they borrowed against their reserves like 4 years in a row.
Right.
To try to keep the tax levy down to like nothing practically, but they emptied out their bank account. They had no money to pay for anything. And they needed, in order to keep things status quo, they needed to raise the property taxes by like 16%.
And, right.
You know, they were trying to find all kinds of ways to get creative or whatever. And they were like, why don't we just put it up to the community to like, hey, man, if you're willing to pay an extra 16%. And so they broke down the math. It was going to be about $1.48 extra a month in taxes to go up by 16%. But we have out here a tax cap. You know, there's a tax cap. Schools can't pierce the cap. Unless they have like a super majority, and like that, with that super majority part is the one that like the community really wanted to like go back and revisit. Like, why does it have to be a super majority? Why does it have to be 65%? Right. It had to go 60%. It had to go by, it wasn't enough to have 51% vote to pierce the cap. You needed a 60% majority vote to pierce the cap.
Right.
I remember talking to Zeldin about that on the phone, like just getting quotes from him for the story, and just his whole approach and just his whole argument is like, you know, it's just obnoxious. And it's like, well, then that's not a tax cap. If you could just vote it out, you know, that's not a tax cap. I'm like, but you're talking, but democracy is about the people deciding, no, we want to keep our school district the way it is. We don't want to cut the football team and the cheerleading team and the STEM, you know, programs that we have. They had to cut the gifted and talented program. I mean, they had to cut the hell out of all their after-school programs in order to get under the cap. And, you know, he's and 53% people, 53% or 54% of the people who showed up to vote voted in favor of the 16% increase. But it wasn't enough. So it went down. It got shot down. So they ended up having to cut all these programs. And, you know, just talking to him, at the time, he was a state senator representing the area. And, you know, just conversing with him was just like, just talking to him about, like, how democracy is supposed to work. He was just, like, laughing during the interviews.
Is that what you think? Yeah.
Oh, I want to kill him. Yeah. You know? And just the fact that this guy is from my hometown, he should – I don't even know why he's a Republican, you know?
Listen, peasant, let me explain this to you.
Yeah, it's like you grew up two blocks down the street from me, you son of a bitch, you know? And then, you know, he didn't need to insert himself into this Trump impeachment process, but he jumped to Trump's defense. He was on Trump's defense team, you know? There was only a handful of people who offered to be on Trump's defense team, and he was one of them. Why? You know, he carries Trump's water. Yeah, it wasn't. And it didn't really pay off because Trump didn't even mention his name.
Right. There's definitely so many, like, just slimy, just opportunists, just trying to climb, slither their way up the ladder.
Yeah, and that's why I want him to lose.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But.
And I feel like with that, like, people pay a lot of attention to presidential races, but not a lot of attention to the other races, like those micro races within states, which matter probably way more for people's daily lives.
Lives, yeah. The local elections obviously have more impact, absolutely.
Right, but people don't see it. It's like, oh, I voted for president. Who else? Whatever. And those pick randomly.
Yeah.
Or not at all.
I think even with this, like, I think as bummed out as people would be if Trump wins, if Democrats win the Senate, you know, then they got the House and the Senate. They could just put them in the corner and hold them there for 4 years and just wait them out.
People, like, whoever wins, like, if you just surround them with the opposition.
Yes.
The president is an emperor.
Yes.
Like, he can't just do whatever.
Yeah. And so, I'm in favor, and this is one of the rare times in our history where I would actually be in favor of not negotiating.
Just lady duck, just
sit down everything the son of a bitch wants to do, even the color of the paper he wants in his office. Shoot it all down, you know? Just absolutely hamstring him, you know? And I'm not normally like that. Like, I remember when, you know, obviously when Obama won, he talked about wanting to reach across the aisle, you know? And I like that idea. And I normally do like that idea.
That's what frustrates me so much about Trump is that, let's say he did all the same things he did, blah, 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 this and that. If he just reached across the aisle and if he just shut his mouth, still people would be against him, obviously. But he would seem more rational and he would seem like more presidential.
Yeah.
Because, like, people could say, well, at least he tried. At least he tried to reach across the aisle and make friends with the people who would probably never be his friends to begin with. But he just doesn't.
He just doesn't do it.
And he can't take it. And, like, it's too petty.
Yeah.
And I think there's a quote Napoleon said, you know, in order to have absolute power, he must have absolute control and absolute pettiness.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Like every little thing you need to address, which I don't think is correct.
Right.
I think in a country like this, in a democratic country, you learn to ignore stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need to fight everyone all the time.
And going back to that thing with the streets, like, the learn to ignore stuff is
like, you don't have to be this petty and, like, address everything. Yes. Like, imagine if Obama did that constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'd be so annoying. People would be so fed up with him after a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it just, it brings you down in my eyes. It just brings you down. Like, it's like if like this, like, Tom Brady was walking out to the field and some, like, 14-year-old said, you suck. And he's like, no, I don't. And he's like, starts yelling at the 14-year-old.
Stands. Yeah. Yeah. That is Trump in a nutshell.
Yeah. You look weaker. You don't look stronger.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
I don't know.
All right, Martin, I'm going to end this.
All right.
Cause it's getting late.
Arizona is bluish.
Bluish. Ooh. I hope he wins because I wanna see, this is the thing. I've never done this in my life, but I feel like tomorrow, if Biden wins tomorrow, I want to get on social media and just shit post all day. Well, I want to call in sick and shit post. I want to write to my principal. I'm not feeling well, I'm a little under the weather, and then just spend my day shit posting people, just needling people.
Yeah.
People I went to high school with, you know, who should know better, you know? Like, 90% of us grew up on welfare, and you're voting for this prick, you know? But so it would be nice to see if he can get Arizona, you know?
I'll keep you posted.
Hey, my wife came up with a really good idea, and I think I want to run this by you, because she was asking me who I think would be good for this, and I thought of you. Doing a book club, a Zoom book club. With me, you, and like two other people,
Absolutely.
But I want to, yeah, like the other two people I want to reach out to, one of them is like a she was an English major. She's an interior designer by profession, but she was an English major. She went to Binghamton. Her name's Jenny. And then there's another girl who's hilarious. She's really funny. She's like this, she's a married mom. Her name is Connie. She knows my wife. They worked together years ago when my wife worked in the Empire State Building. She was like 18, 19 years old. She was administrative assistant. Like she worked at a reception desk, but she's a grown woman now. She's got her own kids and stuff. She lives on Long Island but she's really funny and it would be kind of cool to bring.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, cause they would have very different perspectives. Like Jenny's like a feminist and I want to like annoy her. I want to stir the pot. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm interested. Yeah, that's intriguing.
You're down with that?
Yeah, I'm down.
All right, cool. So I'm gonna try to put that together and like have the maybe like once a month, like just put out, you know, like look for the whatever a new release is coming out. We'll do like a contemporary book. We're not gonna do like classics or anything. We won't do like One Piece. We'll do something that's coming out now.
Cool.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Sounds good to me.
All right, man. Cool.
All right. Good talk.
Hey man, thanks for doing this. It's late. I kept you late. I don't know how late you like to stay up.
No, I'll be up. Don't worry.
Yeah, I know. All right. Talk to you later, man.
Take care, man. Ciao.
Good. To be dead.